Are you ready for the quantum age?
Humanity's next step in evolution?
Dream Vision 7 Radio Network invites you to the extraordinary platform of Evolutionary Voices for the Quantum Age.
Let's explore. Learn more about this upcoming age where we bridge science with spirituality.
Where potentiality meets reality.
Where we take compassion into action.
Our trailblazers and visionaries will ask the whys, the what ifs, while igniting continuous possibility.
Come along with us into an age beyond what we know today, where we can grow together in unity consciousness.
Experience Evolutionary Voices for the Quantum Age, Monday through Friday at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern on DreamVision7Radio.com. Welcome to What's in Your Way is the Way with your host, Mary O'Malley, inviting you to open to the radical notion that in your life, whatever you perceive to be in your way is the way. In other words, your challenges, whether they be relationships, compulsions, finances, or illness, come with gifts embedded in them that can bring healing and allow you to experience the joy of being fully alive. Mary is a counselor, awakening mentor, inspirational speaker, and the author of What's in the Way is the Way, The Gift of Our Compulsions, Belonging to Life, and The Magical Forest of Aliveness. What's in Your Way is the Way with Mary O'Malley is part of Evolutionary Voices for the Quantum Age. Heard Monday through Friday at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern on the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
Welcome to What's in Your Way is the Way. And I'm your host, Mary O'Malley. And today we are exploring the magic of acceptance. Let that roll around in your mind and in your body. The magic of acceptance. We can miss the invitation in that statement if we see it through our dualistic minds. Our dualistic minds can frame acceptance as being a wimp or letting life roll right over you, or I have to accept this abusive relationship or a toxic work environment. The kind of acceptance we will be exploring here today is so far from that view. Instead of being a passive state, it's a dynamic state, a foundational relationship with existence that invites you to show up for what is showing up so you can be present for whatever is happening rather than getting caught in struggling, polarizing, and resisting. You may already be saying, oh, I just can't allow my difficult partner or my judging friend or fill in the blank. That is because our dualistic minds think that the opposite of acceptance is just letting it all happen. This isn't about being a wimp or sitting down by the side of the road, letting it run you over. It also isn't about stagnation nor resignation. Again, it is a foundational acceptance of your experience. Life is for you, so you can listen, explore, and learn from whatever life is showing you. Acceptance is a core piece of what I share with the world, and it is what has allowed me to move from so much self-hate that I broke my own arm, and so much fear that I could hardly leave my room in the mental hospital. I've shared this in several ways in my books. In Belonging to Life, it showed up as two statements, what is, and this too. And it's my belief that this is why Eckhart Tolle endorsed Belonging to Life, because of these two statements. What is wakes up your curiosity, not the kind of curiosity that wants to figure something out. Instead, it's the kind of curiosity that is fascinated with what is. It invites your attention out of thinking about life and into direct contact with life as it is right now. This, too, takes you out of your normal way of engaging with life, struggling, controlling, thinking, denying, fighting, resisting, figuring out, managing, and even understanding. This, too, is the opposite of our struggling minds. It is the ability to move beyond struggle and meet what is exactly as it is. This kind of acceptance is magic, for as long as we are resisting what we are trying to change, we stay stuck to it like glue. In The Gift of Our Compulsions, the magic of acceptance showed up as four questions. In this moment, what am I experiencing? For this moment, can I allow it to be here? For this moment, can I touch it with compassion? And right now, what do I truly need? And in What's in the Way is the Way, it showed up as the fabulous statement, as is, I'm here. Saying as is reminds you of the willingness to allow yourself to be exactly as you are in this moment. It invites you into the art of letting go of struggling with whatever is your usual mode, so that you can move into the place of healing that comes from being present for life exactly as it is. As I've said many times, attention heals. Saying, I'm here, reminds you to give your accepting attention to whatever life is offering you in this moment. It reminds you to be keenly attentive to what is in a way that invites your heart to be open to whatever you are experiencing. It is astounding to me that we have forgotten the power of an accepting heart. For all true and lasting healing happens in our hearts. All these ways of accessing focused acceptance reminds us to let go of struggling with life and become present for it instead. A friend of mine who is an accomplished whitewater kayaker said when he trains people, he shows that when they get caught in a whirlpool, if they struggle to get out of it, they will just stay caught. But if they relax into it, it will take them to the bottom and then bring them right up to the top where they can extricate themselves. As Eckhart Tolle says, if you are not in the state of acceptance, look closely and you will find that you are creating suffering for yourself and others. With the kind of acceptance we are exploring, you're not struggling with life. In other words, you're not a victim to life. When you meet life from the idea that it is happening to you, being a victim, then you are glad when it is the way you want it to be and sad or mad when it isn't. Being a victim evokes shame, anger, blame, and struggle. When instead you see, as Eckhart Tolle so beautifully says, life will give you the exact set of experiences you need in order to become a conscious human being, then you won't get lost in, why is this happening to me? I don't deserve this. I wish this was different. It shouldn't be happening this way. How can I get rid of this? Or who is to blame? Those ways of being with our challenges are just spinning our wheels in the mud. Remember, and I will say this over and over again, the kind of acceptance we are exploring is a foundational relationship with life. It doesn't mean that you don't do anything. From a place of not fighting with what is, if something needs to be done, you will be able to respond rather than react. And believe you me, responses create far less havoc than reactions. This way of working with the challenges in our lives is alien to most of us. All you have to do is look at the evening news. Bring an image to your mind of the war in Gaza. It's heartbreaking to see seemingly endless miles of bombed out buildings, packed refugee camps, and starving and maimed children. How has this happened? How can humanity be so cruel to our fellow human beings? Bring images from the war in Ukraine. There's a new documentary that's up for an Oscar called 20 Days in Mariupol, and it documents the first 20 days of the Russian invasion of the Ukrainian city of Mariupol. The little I have seen of it breaks my heart to the point of tears. Is humanity just doomed to destroy itself? Well, I'm not so sure about that. For me, this is all happening because most of humanity is still caught in an old kind of mind that sees through the lens of good and bad, right and wrong, and acceptance is far, far away. There's a huge gift we're being given out of all of this chaos, and that is the gift of seeing, really seeing, what it is like when we try to solve problems through struggle, rather than starting from the foundation of acceptance. This old kind of mind is so opposite from acceptance that it isn't even funny. It says, I have the power and you don't, and if you don't agree with me, I will dominate you. It also says, I am right and you are wrong, so it tries to obliterate its so-called enemy. It's absolutely astounding to me that Netanyahu and the leaders of Hamas really believe they will win, I put that in air quotes, if they destroy their so-called enemy. But in reality, they are only creating more entrenched people on both sides of the war. For what we resist, we empower. That is how blind our conditioned minds can be, how deeply they have been trained in reaction. Once we recognize that conflict doesn't heal anything in the long run, we begin to open to another way of solving our problems. As Einstein was believed to have said, if you try to solve a problem on the same level it has been created, you only create more problems. This new kind of mind is how Gandhi brought the British Empire to its knees in India. They didn't fight with it. It's how Nelson Mandela began the healing process in South Africa, and it was the foundation of Martin Luther King's message. Humanity is beginning to grow beyond the belief that struggle is how you solve problems, whether it's in our relationships, in politics, in business environments, and country to country. What is happening in Ukraine, in the Middle East, is an invitation into a new way of being with life. This way is inclusive rather than exclusive. It recognizes that we're all in this together, living on a tiny blue-green-white jewel of a planet. It honors that each person has a thread in the tapestry of life and sees that even if their thread is the opposite of ours, that doesn't mean it is wrong. It just means it is their thread, and we are invited to honor it. This new kind of mind that is waking up in humanity knows that communicating is the way through any challenge we are experiencing, whether it's with a friend, a loved one, a person with another religion, a political view that can feel like fingernails on a chalkboard, or a different country. It is waking up our amazing hearts so we can live from a place of connection through listening, communicating, honoring. And that is the magic of acceptance. Because it is not okay for any person to violate another, if your boundaries are being crossed in any given situation, then you need to take care of yourself, not by attacking, but by removing yourself, or by listening to what the appropriate response would be in this situation. Three core gifts come into your life the more you cultivate acceptance. They are based on the message that is embedded in this quote from Byron Katie. Life is simple. Everything happens for you, not to you. Everything happens at the exact right moment, neither too soon nor too late. Her message invites us to engage with life exactly as it is. In other words, into a foundational acceptance of life so that we can work with what is rather than struggling with it. Remember, this kind of acceptance isn't about letting life do with you what it will. It allows you to work with what is, responding rather than reacting, and gathering the wisdom that always comes when we are challenged. The first core gift is when you move from life is happening to you to it's happening for you, it becomes immensely easier to respond rather than react to your challenges. The second gift is that when you are not struggling with what you are experiencing, you can listen deeply, accessing the gifts that always come embedded in your difficulties. And the third gift is that when you're not resisting what is showing up in your life, what you formerly resisted loses its power over you. Because what we're talking about here is so different than how we've been conditioned to be with life. Is there a problem? Fix it, change it, ignore it, rise above it, get rid of it, find blame. Never, ever listen to it. And because we have been so conditioned to resist the difficulties and the uncomfortable, I want to share with you stories about each of these gifts that will help you see the magic of acceptance in action, so you can work with the parts of your life that you have formerly resisted and turned away from. The first highlights the healing power of responding rather than reacting to life. With our world becoming increasingly polarized, it desperately needs more and more people who are practicing the magic of acceptance so they can respond rather than react to whatever is showing up both inside of themselves and in the world. This story comes from Jack Kornfield's books, Stories of the Spirit, Stories of the Heart. It is written by Terry Dobson, who studied Aikido in Japan for many years. He tells of a day in his life that reveals the power of acceptance. The train clanked and rattled through the suburbs of Tokyo on a drowsy spring afternoon. Our car was comparatively empty, a few housewives with their kids in tow, some old folks going shopping. I gazed absently at the drab houses and the dusty hedgerows. At one station, the door opened, and suddenly the afternoon quiet was shattered by a man bellowing violent, incomprehensible curses. The man staggered into our car. He wore laborer's clothing, and he was big, drunk, and dirty. Screaming, he swung at a woman holding a baby. The blow sent her spinning into the laps of an elderly couple. It was a miracle that she was unharmed. Terrified, the couple jumped up and scrambled towards the other end of the car. The laborer aimed a kick at the retreating back of an old woman, but missed as she scuttled to safety. This so enraged the drunk that he grabbed the metal pole in the center of the car and tried to wrench it out, and I could see that one of his hands was cut and bleeding. The train lurched ahead. The passengers frozen with fear, I stood up. I was young then, some 20 years ago, and in pretty good shape. I have been putting in a solid 8 hours of Aikido training for nearly every day for the past 3 years. I'd like to throw and grapple. I thought I was tough. Trouble was, my martial skill was untested in actual combat. As students of Aikido, we were not allowed to fight. Aikido, my teacher said again and again, is the art of reconciliation. Whoever has the mind to fight has broken his connection with the universe. If you try to dominate people, you are already defeated. We study how to resolve conflict, not how to start it. I listened to his words. I tried hard. I even went so far as to cross the street when I came across a group of pinball punks who were lounging around the train station. Oh, my forbearance exalted me. I felt both tough and holy. In my heart, however, I wanted an absolutely legitimate opportunity, whereas I might save the innocent by destroying the guilty. This is it, I said to myself, getting my feet. People are in danger, and if I don't do something fast, they will probably get hurt. See me stand up, the drunk recognized a chance to focus his rage. Aha, he roared, a foreigner. You need a lesson in Japanese manners. I held tightly to the computer strap overhead and gave him a slow look of disgust and dismissal. I planned to take this turkey apart, but he had to make the first move. I wanted him mad, so I pursed my lips and blew him an insolent kiss. All righty, hollered. You're gonna get a lesson. He gathered himself for a rush at me. A split second before he could move, someone shouted, Hey! It was ear-splitting. I remember the strangely joyous, lilting quality of it, as though you and a friend had been searching diligently for something, and you suddenly stumbled upon it. Hey! I wheeled to my left. The drunk spun to his right. We both stared down at a little old Japanese man. He must have been well into his 70s, this tiny gentleman, sitting there immaculate in his kimono. He took no notice of me, but beamed delightfully at the laborer as though he had a most important, most welcome secret to share. Come here, the old man said, beckoning to the drunk. Come here, talk with me. He waved his hand lightly. The big man followed as if on a string. He planted his feet belligerently in front of the old gentleman and roared above the clacking wheels, Why in the hell should I talk with you? The drunk now had his back to me. If his elbow moved so much as a millimeter, I'd drop him in his socks. The old man continued to beam at the laborer. What you been drinking? He asked, his eyes sparkling with interest. I've been drinking sake, the laborer bellowed back, and it's none of your business. Flecks of spittle spattered the old man. Oh, that is wonderful, said the old man. Absolutely wonderful. You see, I love sake, too. Every night, me and my wife, she's 76, you know, we warm a little bottle of sake and take it out to the garden, and we sit on an old wooden bench. We watch the sun go down, and we look to see how our persimmon tree is doing. My great-grandfather planted that tree, and we worry about whether it will recover from those ice storms we had last winter. Our tree had done better than I expected, though, especially when you consider the poor quality of the soil. It is gratifying to watch when we take our sake out and go enjoy the evening, even when it rains. He looked up at the laborer, his eyes twinkling. As he struggled to follow the old man's conversation, the drunk's face began to soften. His fists slowly unclenched. Yeah, I love persimmons too. And his voice trailed off. Yeah, said the old man, smiling. I'm sure you have a wonderful wife. No, replied the laborer. My wife died. Very gently, swaying with the motion of the train, the big man began to sob. I don't got no wife, I don't got no home, I don't got no job, I'm so ashamed of myself. Tears rolled down his cheeks. A spasm of despair rippled through his body. Now it was my turn. Standing there in well-scrubbed youthful innocence, my make this world safe for democracy, righteousness. I suddenly felt dirtier than he was. Then the train arrived at my stop, and as the door opened, I heard the old man clucking sympathetically, My, That is a difficult predicament indeed. Sit down here and tell me about it. I turned my head for one last look. The laborer was sprawled on the seat, his head in the old man's lap, and the old man was softly stroking the filthy, matted hair. As the train pulled away, I sat down on a bench. What I had wanted to do with muscle had been accomplished with kind words. I had just seen Aikido in combat, and the essence of it was love. I would have to practice the art with an entirely different spirit. It would be a long time before I could speak about the resolution of conflict. Can you see how Terry was reacting to the situation? It was what we've all been taught to do, struggle with the parts of life we don't like or we are afraid of. And if he followed through on that, who knows what could have happened in that train car. But as Terry said, his teacher told him, whoever has the mind to fight has broken his connection with the universe. If you try to dominate people, if you try to dominate your feelings, if you try to dominate whatever, you know, you are already defeated. Wow, that is such an important point. But the little old man, he didn't fight with it. He worked with what was given. He worked from the magic of acceptance, not trying to get rid of the labor, not judging him, not struggling with him. Instead, he accepted the situation as it was, allowing him to respond rather than react. And from this response, the laborer didn't have anything to fight against. This is such an important point. And all of his rage let go under the magic of acceptance. The second gift that foundational acceptance brings is the ability to gather all the gifts that always come when we're challenged. Remember, your life is tailor-made to wake you up out of the dream of struggle. There's a story from Stephen Levine's book, Who Dies, that highlights this. It's about Paul, a young engineer, who had worked really hard so he could buy a new car, new clothes, and all of the other material pleasures he desired. Then he was diagnosed with cancer. And it was pure hell for him because he just wanted it to go away. By now, he was bedridden, and he would swing from restlessness to boredom, and then into loss and despair, and back into restlessness. When Stephen came into his life, he began to discover the magic of acceptance. He learned how to be with his life exactly as it is, rather than pushing it away, especially discomfort. He started to journal each day, and over again, as he wrote of his frustrations and fears, he would then write in big block letters, acceptance is magic. Here are some excerpts from his journal writings that describe the shift from resisting to responding, from controlling to allowing, from closing to opening, and from rejection to acceptance. One day, feeling very restless, he wrote, I am not this discomfort, and this too shall pass. I need to acknowledge what is here, and that it is just restlessness. It's just a conditioned response. And then he invited himself to let go and said, oh, whatever seemed so solid before was just a cloud passing by. That is the power of acceptance. As he learned how to accept that this is what life was giving him right now, so he could respond rather than react to all the challenges that came with the cancer, he said, it came to me how little it takes to be able to accept unacceptable discomfort. And whenever he did, he felt spacious joy. Then, of course, the next day the resistance came back. As Stephen would say, big surprise. He then wrote, "I have sensations in my back and my stomach that keep me bothered and make it hard to relax. I think my best move now is to practice total loving acceptance of whatever I am experiencing." And of course, that opened space around his struggle. Another day he wrote, "It's starting to be fun again, watching my mind trying to close down around discomfort. It is beautiful to see things positively, as an adventure, as a learning experience. I can stay aware of the tricks my mind plays as it gets fooled by one carrot after the other. Part of me knows they are just illusions, but oh, they seem so real. It's just so strange to be afraid, and yet to be able to endure all of this with calm patience, just watching." As Eckhart Tolle once said, full attention means full acceptance. I want you to get a sense of the rhythm in this journal. He writes about the opening and allowing of acceptance, and then he writes about controlling and resisting. So one day he wrote, "Just work with what you have in any given moment, because that's all you're getting. What makes you think that no one else is trapped? We're all trapped. You're just lucky enough to be reminded more often." Ah, more acceptance. Another time, when he got caught in reaction, he wrote, "Time passes slowly when you're suffering. It would be okay if I didn't feel so lousy. The only way out is through, but it sure is hell in here. I am uncertain, completely uncertain about tomorrow, even 1 hour from now. I am afraid of pain, especially excruciating pain that won't let go. I'm afraid of waking up with amnesia. I'm afraid of total helplessness. I'm afraid of my next bowel movement. I'm afraid of what will happen to me. I'm afraid because I am no longer in control of my life." He then shifts into response. "Yes, I am now powerless and unable to do anything except try to love, to keep my heart open. And for this moment, I can sense the love and beauty in my predicament." He had just moved from the tightness of resistance to the openness of acceptance. He also wrote, "Life will always be an adventure, no matter how torturous. I really believed yesterday that that state of restlessness would last forever, and now how laughable that seems. The best thing for me now is to cultivate a calm awareness and acceptance of the whole show. It's not as bad as you think. In fact, it is only as bad as you think." Here is cancer. Something most people are afraid of. That is, step by step, opening Paul again to the joy of simply being present for life, all of it. We can only gather the gifts that come with every single challenge when we meet them from the foundation of acceptance. Oh, this is what life is offering. Just a wave passing through. No need to push it away. It belongs here. No need to hold on. Everything changes. Meet it with curiosity and compassion so it can move right on through and you can reconnect with who you truly are. That is the mantra I use around my cancer. The third story shows the gift of seeing that what we have formerly resisted, judged, and tried to get rid of loses its power over us when we let go of our usual mode of struggle and instead be present for whatever is here. This story comes from the much-beloved Tibetan teacher Milarepa. He was living in a cave in the woods, and one day he left to gather firewood. When he returned, he found that his cave had been taken over by demons. There were demons everywhere. His first thought upon seeing them was, I've got to get rid of them. He lunges toward them, chasing after them, trying forcefully to get them out of his cave. But the demons are completely unfazed. In fact, the more he chases them, the more comfortable and settled they seem to be. Realizing that his efforts to run them out have failed miserably, he opts for a new approach and decides to try to teach them the Dharma. If chasing them won't work, then maybe hearing the teachings of Buddha will change their minds and get them to go away. He takes his seat and begins teaching about existence and non-existence, compassion and kindness, and the nature of impermanence. After a while, he looks around and realizes, the demons are all still here. They simply stare at him with their huge, bulging eyes. Not a single one is leaving. At this point, Milarepa lets out a deep breath of surrender, knowing now that these demons will not be manipulated into leaving, think of Gaza, and that maybe he has something to learn from them. He looks deeply into the eyes of each demon and bows and said, it looks like we're going to be here together. I open myself to whatever you have to teach me. In that moment, this is the key, all the demons but one disappear. That is called the art of surrender. Dirty word to the ego, but when you really understand that surrender isn't defeat, it's just staying open to what is. But one huge and especially fierce demon with flaring nostrils and dripping fangs is still there. So Milarepa lets go even further. Stepping over to the largest demon, he offers himself completely, holding back nothing. Eat me if you wish. He places his head in the demon's mouth, and at that moment, the largest demon bows low and dissolves into space. In other words, what we resist persists. It's what Terry's Aikido teacher was telling him, and you can see this so clearly in the Middle East. But what we allow to be here loses its power over us, or as the story said, it simply dissolves. That is how, after having gained and lost hundreds of pounds, and then once gained 97 pounds in a year, I came to a place where my overeater no longer had any power over me. It wasn't because I learned how to control it. It was because I learned how to not fight it. And of course, I wrote about it in my book, The Gift of Our Compulsions. Are you willing to give yourself these three gifts that come from cultivating the magic of acceptance? The art of responding rather than reacting? The ability to listen to what life is offering so you can access the gifts that always come embedded in your difficulties? And finally, in not resisting what is showing up in your life, seeing that what you formerly resisted loses its power over you. Before you commit to this, it may be helpful to remind you again why acceptance is so magical, because you're not fighting with life. As we explored, we have been trained to struggle with life, and it keeps us caught in the tight and small world of our minds. When your foundational relationship with life is acceptance, it begins to lift those clouds. And you can actually engage with life exactly as it is, discovering that life is guiding you step by step on the path back home to an intimate and alive connection with life exactly as it is. Also, we need to hear again, it is not an invitation to allow abusive relationships or a toxic workplace. And it also isn't about allowing difficult people to have power over us. Instead, it's a foundational relationship with life that will help you be clear about how to respond rather than react. Eckhart Tolle understands the importance of acting from a foundation of acceptance. He says, accept and then act. Whatever the present moment contains, accept it as if you had chosen it. Always work with it, not against it. He is not saying just accept. He is saying from acceptance, you can then respond to what is rather than struggling with it. And if there's something you need to do or say, the chances of it coming from reaction is far less, and the chances of responding skillfully are far greater. That is the magic of acceptance. Most people don't get this engaged with life until they're on their deathbeds, because that is a time when they're finally forced to let go. And there are people who kick and scream and fight even the dying process. So the invitation is, don't wait until you're on your deathbed. What I'm offering you here is the truth that you have a choice to be upset about your flu or being too cold or a backache or a headache or a difficult family member or a politician you think is crazy or the war in Gaza. Whatever challenge is showing up in your life, you can use it to strengthen the muscle of your acceptance. What is? And this too. As is. I'm here. Acceptance allows you to work with what is being given rather than going down the rabbit hole of resistance. The statement I use to wake up my ability to be present for what is going on rather than reacting and thus being lost in it is, without needing anything to be any different than what it is, notice what is. Try this right now. Bring your attention to the sounds happening around you and within you and say to yourself, without needing anything to be any different than what it is, notice what is. Listen carefully and intimately to the sounds that are arising and passing. When you are actually hearing your life, you can become who you really are, awareness that can see what is going on rather than being lost in it. Awareness is the space that all of this is happening in. Because we are so addicted to struggling with whatever life is offering, I invite you to start small. Work with a cold or an ache in your back or an irritating noise or a too loud person in a room you are in. And for a few moments, say to yourself, what is right now? Oh, this is a cold, or this is a irritating dog barking. Just simply acknowledge it and recognize it's part of a passing show. It shall pass. And then say to yourself this too, I choose not to react to it. I choose instead to meet it with compassion and care. Believe me, if you're working with a cold, it is so much easier to experience when you're not reacting to it, when you're giving it the space to just be. I assure you, it will move through faster if you don't fight it. As you're listening to your life, rather than thinking about it, your attention may very quickly go back into thoughts about life, but that's okay. Moment by moment, step by step, you can discover how to unhook from your reactionary mind and actually be present for your life. And with all of your longing for a better partner, a different body, greater health, more money. Believe you me, this is your deepest longing to be actually here for life. Re-listen to the stories in this show. The power to disarm a difficult situation shown by the little old Japanese man. The excerpts from Paul's journal that show the magic of acceptance, that life is an adventure, a learning experience, that is all passing show, and even this shall pass, and it's not as bad as you think. In fact, it's only as bad as you think. And finally, Milarepa trying to get rid of the demons, and it was only when he accepts the main demon that it goes away. So your demons, the parts of your life that you don't like, they are your teacher. Remember that most of your struggles come from your mind resisting what is. And I am saying you don't have to follow it down the rabbit hole of struggle. Instead of staying lost in struggle, open your heart to whatever life is offering. And as Paul so beautifully said, sense the love and the beauty in your predicament. As you discover how to respond rather than react to your loved ones, to your headache, to your friends and workmates, your impatience, to the evening news, every moment you respond makes a difference in what is happening on this planet. And as you cultivate the magic of acceptance, you will be able to respond and be present for ever-increasing challenges. What we're doing here may not help what is happening in the Middle East, for they are deeply entrenched in the old kind of mind. But as more and more people live from their responsive hearts rather than their reactive mind, our world will be healed one person at a time. As Wendell Berry, American novelist, poet, and environmental activist who carried one of the most amazing hearts this planet has ever seen, once said, "In the dark of the moon, in flying snow, in the dead of winter, wars spreading, families dying, the world in danger, I walk the rocky hillside, sowing clover." He wrote this many years ago, but I think he is talking about the time we are living in the dark of the moon, in flying snow, in the dead of winter, wars spreading, families dying. Think of Gaza, the world in danger. I walk the rocky hillside, sowing clover. Will you join me in becoming a part of the healing that is coming from all of this chaos? Will you hold the intention to catch your reactions and respond instead, not only for more peace in your world, but for all the children that are coming after us? Believe you me, every moment you respond rather than react is like a drop of water in the bucket, and your mind will look down and say, "Oh my God, the bottom of the bucket isn't even covered. This isn't working." But I assure you, keep on cultivating the magic of acceptance, and one day you'll look down and the bucket is overflowing and your heart is open to absolutely every single being and every single challenge on this planet. I am saying you can make a difference in what is happening now. Your life matters. I thank you for listening. May the seeds planted today come to fruition for the healing of all beings. Namaste.
Thank you for listening to this edition of What's in Your Way is the Way with your host, Mary O'Malley. You can access Mary's offerings on her websites, maryomalley.com and whatsintheway.com. Join Mary next time to experience the peace and joy that is always with you on Evolutionary Voices for the Quantum Age. Heard Monday through Friday at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern on the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.